Hi, and welcome back to episode 8, which is probably going to be our final episode here of Starforged plus Star Wars, our actual play here on Three Skulls Tavern. And joining me, as always, is Sophia from Ironhome. Hey, Sophia.
Hello.
And yeah, just to do a very quick recap from our last episode, we managed to secure the Bacta for our connection, Reese, who's badly injured, and in the process, made lots of friends. and have managed to secure the Bacta. We are returning now to Slime Alley, legging it from the destruction we've left behind. I've got a crate in my hands of some unknown meat or creature or something, and Sophia, I should say Alera, is carrying the all-important barrel of Bacta. So that's where we ended our last session, and we're going to pick up here. So, right. Just give me 1 second to do something. Yeah, no, that's good.
Oh, we fulfilled a vow in the service of Celeste, so that definitely marks progress on your connection.
Yeah,
so our shared connection.
Let's go over there to the connections. Celeste, mark progress on the vow. So we come kind of running or jogging up to her door, knock, and get rushed inside. And she's quite happy to see us with the Bacta, because not only can she use it for Reese, but it also means that it's something that she can use to help the community. It's not cost her a single credit, which is also good. She doesn't want to know where we got it from. She knows we got it from Mingo's, but she doesn't want to know the details. She's just happy to have it. And yeah, that before we mark progress. And can we actually, I guess because we've got 6 progress marked against Celeste, I guess we could theoretically make a roll here, a progress roll, with 6 progress. And I think I like that. I don't see there being too much more that we can do for Celeste at this point. So let's just see whether she's, how this ends up going with her overall. So I'm going to click on that. Wow, a miss. 6 marked, and I rolled a 7 and a 9. So that's Celeste not being a connection.
On a miss, they reveal a motivation or background that puts you at odds. If you recommit to this relationship, roll both challenge dice, take the lowest value, and clear that number of progress boxes. Then raise the connection's rank by 1.
I've got an idea here. Maybe where she's like, I don't really want to hear the details, but we start telling it anyway to, because we're excited. There's adrenaline's pumping. Oh man, it was incredible. Like, it was seat of our pants all going there. First, we stole this transport from a Wookiee, and then she's like, whoa, 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 from a Wookiee? And she's been part of this like underground railroad type of thing that's been helping the Wookiees like hide out in the underbelly to avoid like Imperial patrols. So she's like really closely connected to the kind of Wookiee community here in the underbelly. And that puts us at odds. I think that makes,
I
for
like
me,
that.
that's an instant thing, because the Wookiees are a big part of the setting. And we've obviously done wrong by a Wookiee. So what she says is like, okay, well, you didn't do it out of malicious, it just happened to be a random one that like she asks for details. She realizes that we just picked a random truck and it happened to belong to a Wookiee, and we ended up stunning this Wookiee and getting into a fight with him. And she basically says, you know, if you want to stay in my good books, like, I'll still heal your friend because you brought me the Bacta. But if you ever want to show your face around here again, you're going to have to make it up to that Wookiee.
Fair enough.
That's the only way around it. So kind of like, okay, all right. So
in this case,
yeah,
we have to change her to dangerous because
she was dangerous already.
She was troublesome connection.
Oh, you've changed her already?
I like upgrading her to dangerous because now that we know that she is also involved in this underground movement of Wookiees, that definitely ups her importance. She's no longer just some shady doctor. She's also a political activist with connections. And now we roll the progress dice again, but we just look at the challenge dice. We ignore the result. And, five. So basically it says, take the lowest and clear that number of progress boxes. So we have to remove five progress boxes. So I'm just going to change it to formidable while I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So basically our progress with Celeste has gone down all the way to just one progress box filled.
Okay.
And if we want to improve that connection, then yeah, we're going to have to help out a bit more.
Nice. All right. That's pretty straightforward. I like that. So she gets to work trying to save Rhys. And I guess this is where we also roll the save Rhys's life.
We could definitely roll to see if our vow is completed here.
Do we add any more progress from having gotten the Bacta?
Yeah, we did. We were at, I believe we just did. Let me check to make sure. It's not going to be logged here. No, but I'm pretty sure that we were on 3 progress and we completed this quest and that got us to 6 progress.
Okay, let's just keep it there then. So I'll make that roll.
Oh! Strong wait, hit. I was looking at the wrong one. Okay, whew! Phew!
Awesome.
All right.
So that's another with the Bacta, she's able to do that. And that goes to quest, right? At the top?
Yeah. Mark one more tick. We're one tiny tick away from gaining 2 experience points.
I'll take Save Rhys's life off of that as well. So she basically, with the Bacta, is able to...
We can remove the steel Bacta for Celeste as well. That one's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. And with Rhys healed with the Bacta, can we mark progress against the obtain a ship to get off world vow as well?
We definitely can.
That's one tiny little sliver closer to that epic vow. So we're basically now at Celeste's while she is hooking. I'm kind of seeing it like almost like an IV of Bacta up to him, but normally you'd have a Bacta tank, but she doesn't have a Bacta tank. She doesn't have enough Bacta to immerse him in the liquid. So instead, there's some other way that this is happening. Have you seen the Book of Boba Fett?
I haven't. No, not yet.
Okay, so that's also has a different type of Bacta tank where he's lying down in like a Bacta bed type of thing. It looks like a sunbed, but filled with Bacta. So that he can kind of like rejuvenate. So there's some, and like Bacta can be like injected as well. If it can't, let us know in the comments, or if you have any suggestions on how this Bacta might be able to be used, a large quantity that isn't quite enough to completely immerse a person, how it could be used. I'd love to hear some of the lore behind it. I'm not going to bother going and looking and trying to make it extremely lore friendly. It's a fantasy.
We could say that it's applied locally in small quantities, because otherwise we the whole barrel
that makes sense.
It's for everyone. Like it wasn't just for Rhys. So
he wouldn't. And he's also suffering. He's suffering from like localized injuries, like where he's been shot, right? So that makes a lot of sense. She's got these these patches or like salves that she's able to like hold the Bacta in place locally to try and help him heal.
And she 100% washes it down. It's washed down Bacta. So it's not like the best medical treatment in the world, but it should save him.
Yeah. And it will save him because we've rolled on that and it's, didn't get a miss or anything. It was a strong hit. So I think maybe we can say that very quickly he's, it doesn't take very long before he's coming to and wants to know what's going on. So, where am I? That sort of thing. He's just waking up in Celeste's, flat. And Nom is there, which is probably going to help keep him calm. And then we will explain what we've done to rescue him. And...
Oh, that marks... that definitely marks progress on connection.
Oh, sure. Of course it does.
Saved his life again.
Yeah.
He just keeps saving his life. This would be a perfect moment to roll on that table.
Yeah, roll. Exactly. To see how well he responds to us, I guess. Right? Oh my god.
Oh! Ho, 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 ho.
It's an 8 and an 8 rolled, so it's a strong hit with a match. So, he's not only if we saved his life, we also killed the bounty hunter that was after him. And although there is still a bounty on his head, we're kind of you know, we're basically saying we're going to help keep you safe, but you need to, like, we need something from you too. There's a reason why we're helping you. We're scratching your back. Can you help scratch ours? We went off planet. We're looking for a ship, and we've heard that you have some connections, or you have some leads or something. Before we take this any further, there's something that's been I really want to know, and that is, what is in this crate that I stole off the back of the speeder transport?
All right. I'd say just before that, let's finish the forge a bond move that we just rolled before we forget. So on a strong hit, we now share a bond with Reese. So we mark a reward on the bond's legacy track. Since it's troublesome, we mark one single tick there. Mm-hmm. And we now decide to choose whether we bolster their influence, meaning instead of giving us a plus one, they give us a plus two when anything related to their role. Or otherwise expand their influence. We give them a second role. And we also get a plus one when we use him for that, basically. So right now, he's just a con artist.
Yeah.
Right now, his role is con artist. I'm just going to add it there. Riz, the con artist. That's his role right now.
Yeah.
So maybe his lead is specifically conning someone out of a ship. So do we want to bolster their influence as a con artist, or do we want to give him an additional role?
No, let's bolster his role. I like that.
All right.
He's got some sort of confidence scheme going to trick someone out of a ship.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and remove the track and just put a plus two parentheses there. So he is now our bond.
Okay. And we don't need we don't need the troublesome thing, do we? Or can we not remove that?
No, we can remove it, leave it. Let me see if we can remove it. I don't think we can.
No, I don't think you can.
No.
Nope. If you add a connection, it immediately starts on that level, so there's no option to remove one. Okay. All right. So yeah, we made the progress roll for that, and we've decided that he's gonna be continuing in his role as a con artist, because we get a plus two to anything relating to him.
Now,
probably not gonna be using. Yeah. And now, we're gonna find out what's in the box. I was just gonna say, we'll talk about this a little bit at the end, but we're still keeping this as it is. But the idea is that I want to try and continue this campaign, with in different seasons featuring a different solo rule set every time. And the idea is next session, or the next season, the next arc of this campaign, which will be run for a similar length of time as this one, we'll probably be using Mythic version 2, which has just come out, second edition. So this isn't necessarily going to come into play as much, but we will, during session 0, look at how to transfer some of the stats and some of the things over to whatever system we're going to be using for Mythic. So just want to kind of get that out there, that we're still following the Starforged kind of mechanics, but knowing that we're probably going to be putting them to one side for the next character arc, or the next story arc. Okay, so what's in the box? I mean, it sounds like I need to roll some oracles here.
Yep.
I'm almost thinking of this like a 20 questions game I used to play as a kid, which is like, is it animal, mineral, or what's the other one? Animal, mineral, or something else. I can't remember. There's three different things. You basically ask a bunch of yes or no questions to somebody else. You have 20 questions. If you can guess the right thing by the end of the 20th, before you get to 21 questions, then you kind of win. But I don't want to do 20 questions with an or yes no oracle. Seems a bit stupid.
I would recommend the scriptor and focus oracles.
Okay, that's fine. I was going to do one question, which is,
oh, okay.
Is it because there was a lot of like meat and organic stuff on here? I wanted to ask if it contains something that is alive first.
That makes perfect sense. That's probably likely.
And I think probably likely. So I'm going to go ahead and roll that. That's under the moves oracle, under ask the oracle. And we're going to go with likely odds. Yeah.
And that's yes. a yes. So we could just roll on creatures instead.
We can roll on creatures. It's not, it can't be too big because I wouldn't have been able to carry it, right? If it's of a certain size. So we'll roll on scale anyway, just to see what it says. That's going to be too big, isn't it? Person size. we'll drop it down because I wouldn't have been able to carry that. We'll go down to dog sized, right? Right. So I think, yeah.
That's another air creature.
Okay. So that's, you know, another flying creature. That's fine. Maybe as I open the crate, it kind of gets out and it's like flying around the room that we're in.
Basic form is that of an amoeba pseudopod.
Oh my god. Okay. Okay. That's weird. Like a dog-sized amoeba that can fly. Oh, I'm like, what are people eating from this thing? I don't know. That's kind of gross. Okay.
Its first look is dripping mucus.
That's what they're farming. I mean, this is to some species, this is a delicacy.
It's a visible symbiote. Oh, so there's like something else attached to it.
Interesting.
There's some kind of
got,
like
yeah, it's got this symbiotic creature. Relationship with something else. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's got like two or three attached to the base of it as it just floats and drops mucus.
Maybe the symbiotic creatures are what are flying. Because this thing normally is just like a dripping, like giant single-celled slime blob. And there's something feeding off of it, but they also allow it to move. So there's these creatures, a handful of these small creatures attached to its back that start like flapping their wings to have it like flapping around the room, dripping this mucus everywhere.
Oh, it's terrible.
And we're both like, get it back in, get it back in. I'm trying. Don't touch it.
Let's see some revealed aspect just for fun. It's territorial.
Can you roll that again? I'm just wondering if there might be something that's slightly more sense.
I mean, just below it is toxic spew, so.
Ah, let's go with that one. Let's go with that one.
I think the mucus, as it drips down, this crate was made, was lined with like a special material. And as it just floats around, it starts to drop the mucus, which is just corrosive and burns the ground.
Yeah. But it is like a delicacy to some alien species. Oh, I know. A hut.
Oh, yes.
A hut. And there are definitely huts down here in the underbelly. So we're going to call this the flying acid blob. And we're going to say a delicacy for huts.
So yeah, man, we kind of grab the crate thing, kind of like push it back in.
Somehow, yeah. Okay. So that's the creature that we've got. Maybe we can sell it to a hut. Maybe we can use it for leverage with a hut to help us out in the future. We'll find out, I guess, in our next camp, in our next arc, our next season. I'm just wondering what else we want to do to tie things up here. Maybe let's flesh out what the lead is that Reese has.
I was thinking that we could flesh out that lead and then have another one of these out of character scenes.
Yeah, perfect.
Tied up there.
That sounds good. So we've already established that Reese's as a con artist has a confidence, has a confidence gig going, trying to trick somebody out of a ship. But we don't know more than that. So I guess there's a lot of things we need to kind of flesh out around this.
I've got an idea.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the ships, like there's very few actual ships down here, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Down in the underbelly.
Hold on. There will be one place where ships can get in here from. I'm thinking of specifically. There's a Star Wars video game that was being made that never got finished called I think 1313. Mm. or 1818, something like that. And it was basically set in the underworld of Coruscant. And there's some scenes of that where the two protagonists are in a ship and it's being lowered down this vertical shaft as it's going down deeper and deeper. So I kind of like that imagery of there are a few of these massive shafts that allow transport-sized ships to gain access to the lower levels. But there's only one that can access the underbelly. And it's like on the edge of the underbelly, and there's some sort of like seedy like dock or port where ships can come to this, like to the levels that the underbelly represents to do whatever they need to do. That's kind of what I was envisioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was thinking that place is probably very well guarded, the ships that come in and out. The odds of us taking a ship from there would be almost zero, practically yeah, for sure. zero. So I was thinking, and this time I'm thinking that perhaps there is a rebellion cell down here, and Riss found out about that. And every now and then, a ship sneaks in from somewhere else, not the main port. It's got another way in. And it gets in and it drops down here and it stops for a very short bit. And I was thinking that it could be some kind of like high level diplomat, you know, kind of like Mon Mothma kind of inspiration there, coming down through like an illegal thing, but like very, very what would it be?
Very secretive.
Secretive, right? So what Riss's idea is that we sneak in, we kind of like, what would it be, a way? We lie our way into the rebellion, and then we steal that ship. What do you think about that?
I like it. It seems exactly the right kind of dastardly deeds that we're already setting ourselves up to be doing. It's perfect. It's perfect. We're going to lie our way into the rebellion to steal their ship and make some more friends along the way, right? we're maybe saying this in the other room quietly. And Reese thinks, we're telling Reese, no, you know what? We hate the Empire. You were imprisoned by the Empire. You have every reason to hate them. So on paper, you seem like the perfect candidate for a rebel. And I think with Celeste being friendly with Wookiees, that she's also got rebel contacts and rebel sympathies, if she's not an outright rebel herself. Bear in mind, this is also during the period of time right after only a handful of years after Order 66. So the actual rebellion is not a thing, but there are localized places where people are doing their little rebellions, helping out to resist the Empire. So this is less of a rebel cell and more like a group of people who are actively resisting Imperial control. Basically exactly like the TV series Andor at the start there. The rebellion hadn't started yet and there are all these people doing their little things to fight back. So that sounds perfect. That sounds perfect. And maybe we will actually redeem ourselves and become part of the rebellion. In another season along the way, but we're not intending to go that route to start off with. I love it. Okay, that's perfect. So let's this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode than some of the previous ones, but I think that's okay because we've kind of tying up the loose ends that we've got going here, trying to set ourselves up for the start of our next season, and I think that's absolutely fine. So let's end this official season with a that scene, what's it called? The beginner session move.
Important character is put in danger or suffers a misadventure. Oh, important character.
Let's look at our NPC journal very quickly, because these are the important NPCs we've got here. We have Reese, we have Nom, we have the owner of the Iron Moon, who hasn't come into play yet. Triz Grek is dead, or not. We left Triz Grek for dead. It's not really being put in danger, but it is an important character coming back into the narrative. What do you think? Or we've got Celeste.
Celeste is definitely an option. And we've definitely got a lot of enemies that hate us.
What about Nom? Maybe Nom goes out to get some, like, to get some supplies, some food or something, while we're talking with Rhys, and she doesn't come back. And that could be the start of the next season, is what's happened to Nom.
I like that. It keeps it, like, mysterious.
Yeah. But we don't actually, we're not going to show, like, off camera what happens to Nom. I think it's more, it'll be more exciting, from a solo perspective, to keep that where, like, she just hasn't turned up. Has someone taken her? Has she gotten into harm? Is she reporting on us? Was she kind of like some sort of, like, snitch for someone? Maybe the Empire, who knows? Or has been, like, spying on Rhys? It could be any, like, all sorts of things. And that's what we need to figure out in play. So that's a nice little starting hook to get us started, I think.
I love it.
All right. So that is our campaign coming, season one of this campaign coming to a close. And we've got a lead. In fact, what we should do is mark some progress. Do we mark progress against that obtain a ship to get off world again?
No, because we just
figured out in the narrative. That's what he told us.
Yeah.
And then we marked progress already for rescuing him. So this is kind of tied in with that previously. So we only have the two ticks on that vow. And what could be interesting is we could keep that vow as an external mechanic, which we're just running. Like, it doesn't have to be in Foundry. It could just be running in the background on a piece of paper through each of our different experiments with different rule sets. Is to say, we like how Starforged has this epic background vow, and you can keep yours as well. And we're going to keep those a part of our characters, even though we're using different systems. Because I see that as a very system neutral type of thing, as like you're making progress against a long-term goal, right? And it's a nice visual way of seeing you making progress against it. And whether we make a roll against it or not, or we do something else, we can decide later. We can always just make a 2d10 roll and just do the standard Starforged thing to see whether it's a strong hit or a weak hit or a miss. But I think that seems to me like a nice way of handling that. And if, as we said before, the plan is to use Mythic 2nd Edition for the next arc. And we're not sure about what system we're going to use with it yet. My suggestion was to use West End Games Star Wars, the original role-playing game for Star Wars, and the first edition of it, because that is a very, very lightweight system, especially around things like combat and things. And to me, seems like the easiest system. It doesn't have a huge amount of crunch to allow us to kind of continue the story. And I have the first edition of it. Physically, there's I think there are like dodgy PDFs of knocking around the internet, but I've got all the physical books for it and lots of the supplements, and it's going to be pretty easy. I think there's also a Foundry module for this D6 space or whatever it's called, and there is an option. I think there's like another add-on module to it which allows you to play with the D6 Star Wars, and one of the options is the first edition. So we're going to be setting up Foundry as well for playing that game with Mythic. And there is also a Mythic module that allows you to play with Mythic. I don't think it's been updated for 2nd edition, but I'm sure it's there, well underway with getting it updated.
I think I read that Tano, she was working on something to create some kind of digital tool.
Oh, cool. So, all right. So it might not even be Foundry, but I know there is a Foundry module for Mythic already. I wouldn't be surprised if they're furiously trying to get that updated. It's going to be many months before we return to this solo campaign, the second season. So there's plenty of time for these things to be developed in the background. If you're a bit gutted to see this come to an end and want to see more solo stuff, stay with the channel, because there are other games that we're going to be playing solo, or I'm going to be playing solo. The next one being Forbidden Lands, and I'm excited about that. This is going to be season two of my Forbidden Lands solo campaign I started a couple of years ago, I think, now. But I've actually written the official solo rules for Free League for Forbidden Lands, and I'm going to be basically showcasing these solo rules in the second season, And I've got lots of ideas for what's happening because we kind of left it on a bit of a weird cliffhanger. But if that sounds interesting to you, and Forbidden Lands is a really cool game as well as survival fantasy, quite dark fantasy. Then go ahead and watch the. I'll put a link down in the description as well for the playlist for season one of that series. And Sophia has a whole channel full of Starforged and Ironsworn content. If you haven't watched it yet, then and you want to get your Starforged kick, you want to get your Ironsworn kick, then that's a place I can absolutely recommend going to watch more content. So on that note, Sophia, thank you very much for coming on and playing with me. This has been a lot of fun, and way more fun than doing this on my own, actually. I've just been thinking this all as I've been going through. Every time we've taken a break, I've just been thinking, man, this is a lot better than me trying to slog my way through it on my own. And yeah, it's been really fun. So it thanks has. Again for coming on.
Well, thank you again for having me. This has been, like you said, lots of fun. We got to a lot of misadventures. I did not expect a lot of this to happen. And it was.
I'm sorry that we've used up all of your good dice karma on this stream, not on, not on your own channel, but you know, that's the way these things roll.
I think I once had a game, like how bad my luck is. I once had a game where in the first 12 rolls, I rolled 4 misses with matches double tens.
Whoa.
In the first 12 rolls, the odds of that are incredibly low, and I still cannot believe it happened. But it happened.
Okay. And that's with the Foundry module as well?
This is ridiculous. No, that was with actual real dice.
Oh, okay. I mean,
so maybe the dice are messed up.
Melt those dice down.
But again, thank you for having me. This was lots of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you. And to everyone who's watched and come to the end, thanks very much for watching as well. I would love to hear your comments on how things have gone, ideas for the next campaign, or the next series, I should say, of this campaign, ideas around using first edition of Star Wars D6, ideas or tips on using Mythic second edition, ideas for plots, for things that might be interesting to pursue or to look into, anything like that. Would love to hear your thoughts, so feel free to drop them in the comments. And also there's a link to the various social medias that we're connected to, well, at least with this channel that I'm connected to, and one of them is the Discord channel. There's a lot of discussion that goes on in the Discord channel. I'm active there every day, so that's a really nice place to go if you're a Discord user already, to interact with me specifically. Sophia is on the Discord server as well. So yeah, that's another place to interact if you want to. I'd love to hear your ideas either in the comments or over on Discord or anywhere else that you find a link to get in touch with me. Anyway, we'll draw a line in the sand here for this campaign. We will be coming back to it. It's just going to be a number of months before it comes back around and it cycles back around to its next season. So once again, thank you, Sophia. Thanks everyone for watching. Hit the subscribe and like button if you haven't already. I've been reminding people every episode. And catch you next time.
Bye-bye.